The first second-generation U.S. astronaut launches from Baikonur. Albuquerque's Balloon Festival is marred by tragedy again this year. And Canadian forces lose two in the crash of a CT-114 Tudor. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, October 13th, 2008. Accompanied by popping champagne corks, cheers, and a few tears, hundreds of eager spectators watched as three new spacefarers blasted off from Baikonur Cosmodrome early Sunday morning, riding their Soyuz capsule toward a rendezvous with the International Space Station scheduled for tomorrow. Commander Mike Fink and flight engineer Yuri Lonchakov of the 18th International Space Station crew lifted off at 3:01 a.m. Eastern Time Sunday to begin a six-month stay in space. Also along was tourist Richard Garriott, flying under contract with the Russian Federal Space Agency after paying about $30 million to a private company for that privilege. Garriott is the son of former U.S. astronaut Owen Garriott, and perhaps it's not completely fair to call him a tourist. Garriott, who made a fortune designing fantasy computer role-playing games, is actually looking at the flight as a business venture. In addition to educational activities, Garriott will perform experiments on topics including the effects of zero-G on the immune system and astronauts' rest cycles. Quote, "I'm trying to demonstrate with my flight that private participants can do business in space that returns revenues at similar scales to the cost. I am generating significant revenues through my activities that I believe will be increased in the future," unquote. At least one former Turonaut found Garriott's launch inspirational. After watching the second-generation space traveler leave the pad, South Korean Yi Song Yeon, who made the same trip in April, said, quote, "I don't know why, but I cried. Now Richard has become a real cosmonaut," unquote. Family members have confirmed that pilot Keith Sproul has suffered burns and other severe injuries in a 60-foot fall after his Wings of Wind balloon hit a power line Friday morning near Bernalillo, New Mexico. His passenger, identified as Stephen Lechendro, is said to have fallen about 45 feet after the balloon collided with a second power line. He was pronounced dead at the scene. KOB-TV News cites witnesses in reporting that when the balloon hit the second power line, a fire quickly engulfed the gondola. Paul Solozabal told the station, quote, "The gondola separated and fell, but the balloon continued to rise. There was a large flame under the balloon. It rose so fast it made the balloon take off almost like a missile or something," unquote. The balloon was destroyed in what turned out to be one of three accidents Friday during the annual Albuquerque International Balloon Fiesta. An 11-year-old boy is recovering after he fell out of a gondola when his balloon landed hard and the balloon's lines dragged him by the neck about 20 feet. A 16-year-old girl suffered minor injuries when she was dragged during a landing attempt. It's not known, though, whether she was a passenger or part of a chase team. Wings of Wind was also involved in an incident at last year's Fiesta. The National Transportation Safety Board says the balloon struck a home in stronger than anticipated winds. Canadian forces officials have confirmed two fatalities in the Thursday afternoon crash of a CT-114 Tudor jet northwest of 15 Wing Moose Jaw. 15 Wing Commander Colonel Paul Keddy told reporters the plane's pilot was a member of the Canadian Forces Snowbirds home team, not a demonstration pilot. His passenger was a military photographer from the base. Neither was identified by officials. Doug Johnson, a witness, reported seeing three planes flying in formation, one trailing smoke which looked to be the wrong color for decorative smoke used in air shows. He added, quote, "When I turned to look back again, I saw one of the planes beeline into the ground," unquote. Johnson said he didn't see any parachutes, but could not be sure there was no ejection. ANN will update the story as more info becomes available. Two American law firms say they're going to sue the FAA in connection with the September 14th crash of an Aeroflot Nord 737 near Perm, Russia. A petition for discovery was filed in the state court in Chicago Friday on behalf of Oleske A. Afanasenkov Sr., whose son was among 88 crew and passengers who died in that crash. The filing seeks documentation and information concerning parties that may be responsible for causing it. At issue is a treaty under which the FAA would monitor U.S. flight schools providing training to Russian pilots. The law firms claim that was not done adequately to prepare longtime pilots of Soviet-era Russian hardware for newer Western airliners and their avionics, and also challenges the FAA's process for certificating transport category aircraft. In the days after the crash, Aeroflot executives said plans were afoot prior to the accident to cut that regional airline loose, and the airline would then revert back to its pre-acquisition name of Arkhangelsk Airlines. For the time being, however, the company is still being called Aeroflot Nord. Up next on ANN, the NTSB gets on the FAA's case over engine cowl separations. The Air Safety Foundation offers help in breaking the accident chain. And a commercial spaceflight pioneer has gone west. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 13th. I'm Paul Plack. Space Dev Incorporated has announced that founder and board member James Benson died peacefully in his home Friday at age 63. Benson was diagnosed last year with a brain tumor which claimed his life on Friday. He had resigned from an operational role in Space Dev in September of 06, but retained a seat on the board of the company that he founded in 1997. Mark Sarangelo, Space Dev's CEO and chairman, called Benson a true visionary. Quote, "He saw that space exploration could be more effective if done commercially and formed Space Dev to make that dream become a reality. His legacy contained in Space Dev will continue to forward his vision for the commercialization of space." Unquote. Prior to founding Space Dev, Benson spent 30 years associated with the computer field, spanning the era from the introduction of modern mainframe computers to the dominance of the industry by microcomputers. Benson invented modern full-text computer indexing and searching in 1984 and exploited the new field through CompuSearch and ImageFast, both of which he founded. James Benson is survived by his wife Susan, three children, and four grandchildren. The family's planning a memorial service later in the year. Showing clear frustration with continuing airliner engine fan cowl separations, the NTSB Friday issued four new recommendations for the FAA. The board cited dozens of reports involving Airbus and Bombardier types going back to 1991. The board wants the FAA to require all operators of Airbus single-aisle and Bombardier CL-600 airplane models to revise existing aircraft maintenance manual procedures and maintenance inspection documents to require a dual inspection sign-off to confirm that engine fan cowls are latched after completing any engine maintenance that involves opening the cowl. It also wants operators of affected types to require maintenance personnel to inform flight crews when the engine fan cowls have been opened before flight, provide guidance to maintenance personnel and flight crews on how to inspect engine fan cowls to verify that they are latched properly, and if necessary, include a dual inspection sign-off during maintenance to confirm that engine fan cowls are latched. Unlike the NTSB, the FAA will consider cost-benefit before deciding to impose more regulation. Very few aircraft accidents are the result of a single catastrophic event or decision. They're usually caused by what your ground school called an accident chain. Break any one link among a series of poor decisions, and the accident could have been avoided. To help us all with that process, AOPA's Air Safety Foundation has launched a free online version of its Do the Right Thing series. Bruce Landsberg, executive director of the foundation, notes, quote, "Breaking that chain of decisions is one of the easiest ways to prevent an accident, and one of the hardest," unquote. The online course builds on the successful formula of its in-person seminar on aeronautical decision-making called Do the Right Thing, Decision-Making for Pilots. The course includes five scenarios during which a pilot is faced with a succession of decisions. Each decision has the potential to alter the outcome of the scenario for good or bad. Pilots can see the results of their decisions played out on Microsoft Flight Simulator 10. Do the Right Thing is free and available to all pilots. The course takes a little over an hour, but pilots can stop and save their progress at any point and return to finish it later. If you complete the course and pass a 10-question quiz, you'll be eligible for credit in the FAA Wings Proficiency Program, and you could earn a discount with the AOPA Insurance Agency. You can find the course at www.asf.org. Just click Interactive Courses on the left side of the homepage, then scroll down to Do the Right Thing, Decision Making for Pilots. Do as we say, not as we do. Evidently, that's been the practice on some Horizon Air flights, when the crew tells passengers to turn off their electronic devices. The FAA says it's investigating amateur videos posted recently on YouTube. They were taken from the cockpits of Horizon airplanes on takeoff and landing. That's a violation not only of rules against using electronic devices that could distract the crew, but also of sterile cockpit requirements below 10,000 feet. Horizon Air spokeswoman Jen Boyer told the Seattle Post-Intelligencer, quote, "We do not condone anything like that. We are cooperating with the FAA. We were all over it right away and immediately talked to our entire pilot crew," unquote. One video reportedly under investigation was taken not by a pilot, but by someone in the cockpit's jump seat. It featured narration apparently by a pilot who said, quote, "I was lucky enough to have a jump seater take video of me in action. We're departing Boise for Seattle," unquote. Still ahead, experts now say the Dreamliner will certainly be delayed again. NextGen could be saving the airlines billions a year in fuel. And space enthusiasts are offered once-in-a-lifetime auction buys. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, October 13th. I'm Paul Platt. Industry experts are now betting on significant new delays to Boeing's 787 Dreamliner program, caused by a strike by the International Association of Machinists and exacerbated by a sharp economic decline. Boeing officials have been optimistic throughout the union ordeal and have pointed to a record backlog of orders. But David Strauss of USB Investment Research reported Friday, quote, "Even prior to the machinists' strike, the slow pace of structural deliveries had led us to believe that Boeing was highly unlikely to hit its revised 787 flight test schedule. Boeing has now missed the scheduled assembly complete dates for the first three flight test aircraft. We believe the flight test program is unlikely to complete prior to early 2010, unquote. So how would he know that? Well, Strauss said that his conclusions are based on tracking arrivals of shipments from the suppliers of major structural components delivered via the 747 Dreamlifter, which always flies IFR and can therefore be watched online. In a note to clients, Goldman Sachs analyst Richard Safran said, quote, "We believe that the inability to obtain financing will cause customers to defer or cancel orders. As a result, we believe Boeing will lower production rates," unquote. Boeing has said it is in an excellent position to provide financing for its customers. Boeing's third quarter earnings report is expected on October 22nd and is likely to include an update on the status of its 787 production schedule. Talks between the company and the union resumed over the weekend, but there's been no news of additional progress in ending the strike, which began on September 6th. The domestic U.S. airlines have expressed reluctance to spend the money to adapt their planes for next-gen air traffic control. Maybe this will get their attention. An Associated Press analysis of federal and industry data reports, quote, "If the new system were already in place, airlines could have saved more than $5 billion in fuel this year alone, more than $10 billion annually by 2025, based on today's fuel prices," unquote. The costs to equip for ADS-B and other GPS-based NAV and ATC technologies would cost an estimated $200,000 per aircraft for the airlines. Southwest recently announced it's going ahead with a $175 million program to equip its entire 500-plane fleet with GPS-based equipment, years ahead of any federal requirement. Southwest says getting each of its planes on the ground even 1 minute faster would save $25 million a year in fuel. The FAA's timetable would not fully implement NextGen until sometime after 2020, but acting FAA Administrator Robert Sturgill recently said, quote, "The United States has been to the moon and back. I think the public deserves that same level of effort for our national airspace system," unquote. Spokesman Doug Church of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association told AP he's skeptical about the improvement GPS-based technology will make. Noting that more capacity will take more runways and other infrastructure, he says, quote, "GPS might be great to put in your car, too, but it's not going to get you to work any faster unless they open up another lane on the highway. And it's the same in the air," unquote. The Astronaut Scholarship Foundation has its 6th annual fundraising auction coming up, and there are some pretty unique items on the list. Imagine dining with legendary astronaut John Glenn, hitting the slopes with moonwalker Buzz Aldrin, or watching a space shuttle launch with Robert Crippen, the very first space shuttle pilot. The online catalog is already posted and features 55 astronauts, including Scott Carpenter, Jim Lovell, and John Young, who have delved into their personal collections to provide artifacts, autographed items, and once-in-a-lifetime astronaut experiences. Registration is now open, and online bidding begins Wednesday, October 31st, and continues through Saturday, November 8th at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Online bidding will coincide with in-person bidding at the Foundation's Astronaut Autograph and Memorabilia Show at the Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex in Florida. The Astronaut Scholarship Foundation is a nonprofit organization that provides scholarships to college students who exhibit motivation, imagination, and exceptional performance in the science or engineering fields of their majors. The foundation funds 19 $10,000 scholarships every year, and so far has awarded more than $2.6 million to students nationwide. You can get more details on the auction and view that catalog at www.astronautscholarship.org. And finally, is it just me, or have airport security jitters gone way beyond ridiculous? The Boston Herald reports an FAA airway facilities technician chose to ride a bicycle to get to a runway light maintenance area at Logan International Airport Friday rather than drive an official vehicle. Maybe he was trying to save the government a little fuel, or maybe he's trying to stay fit. In any event, a pilot became suspicious and radioed air traffic control. This guy wasn't even on the runway or a taxiway, which requires security clearance. He was on an airport perimeter road. State police were called into the scene and sheepishly figured out that riding a bike on a public road is not against the law. But by then, one runway had been closed down for 20 minutes and 5 flights were delayed. ANN has been unable to confirm that the water bottle on the bicycle frame may have held more than 3 ounces of water. That's the latest from Aero News. Yeah, I made that part up. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly discussion with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, learn why you need to become familiar with the technology behind your glass panel and hear the story of one guy who didn't. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.